Matting war, agus bliana va ur. Okay, good morning and a happy new year. And to you, Jacob. Yeah, just thought I would practice my Gaelic again. It's lovely to be back with you, and how wonderful to be here to worship God at the beginning of a new year. I hope you've all had an enjoyable time over Christmas and New Year, and are ready, as I know I am, to kind of settle back to normal. Stop eating so much rich food. But it's not quite over, because one of my intimations is to remind all guild members that the Christmas dinner is tomorrow evening, Monday the 6th at 7 o'clock. So 7 o'clock in the small hall is our guild Christmas dinner tomorrow night. I think that's going to be the last Christmas dinner. I was going to say for this year, but no, for last year. And before I forget, of course, it's not only the first Sunday of the year, it's the first Sunday in the month of January. So our flower box is at the door if anybody wants to give donations towards our wonderful flowers that decorate the church every Sunday. And a week on Monday, the 13th, is the first guild meeting. So make sure that you remember these. I think most of the other intimations are on the order of service. Holy Communion next Sunday at 11 o'clock here in the church and 3 p.m. in Bank Hall, which everyone's invited to. I've got a couple of other things to highlight for you. We mentioned them last year, but I think there was too much going on. But we're doing a review of the church. We'll be having a meeting in a few weeks, and we're asking everyone to fill out a questionnaire. We've not got many returned yet, so if you've forgotten about it or you haven't done it yet, do please take one at the end of the service and complete. It's a very quick form to do. But just to give us an idea of what everybody's opinions are of what we're doing and what we could maybe do better, because we're always seeking to be better. And almost part of that as well, I would really love our worship to become better and more lively. So there's been a book at the back for quite a long while, but it's kind of slipped from folks' memory as well. But in it, there are slips, and we'll get plenty more, for you to write your musical memory. So if there's any song or music or hymn that you particularly like and that really brings up memories, please write it on these and leave them at the back of the church with the book. In particular, hymns for me, and I'll be looking on Wednesday the 22nd of January, in the middle of the week of prayer for Christian unity. We're going to have another ecumenical songs of praise. So that's all the different Christian groups in the area. And I'm just realizing I hadn't told you yet. Campbell, you're now having your formal information about this. I meant to email you. Inviting every Christian group to come together and celebrate a songs of praise. And this year it's going to be in the Catholic Church, in the wee chapel at the back of the school. So we'll be looking again for people to select a favourite hymn and be prepared to speak about it. And that's what the service will mainly consist of. I haven't confirmed what time the service is yet because I'm negotiating with folk in the Catholic Church, but really looking forward to that. I know when we did it the year before last, it was really good. I think that's all the intimations. Are you still awake, Audrey? Good. I did warn Audrey there was a lot of intimations. I should also say a massive thank you to everybody who gave me cards and presents. I was just bowled over yet again by your generosity. It's really, really wonderful. But nothing can be as good as the gift of faith in God, in Christ. God is love, and we are all his beloved children. We can only love one another because he first loved us. And his love is a perfect love which drives out all fear. And he sees us all as gorgeous. So let's go into 2020 knowing that we're all gorgeous inside and out. And let's say together some verses from Psalm 72 to set the tone of worshiping God. Endow the king with your justice, O God, your royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. Amen. This is my story. It's my song. Thankfulness, gratitude to God is the way to a happy life. So let's sing our first hymn, number 561, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Just before I read you a story, I have realized there was one other thing I was going to mention. Have you got Happy Birthday handy? Or maybe we should sing it unaccompanied. Because on Friday, it was Audrey's birthday, and I believe yesterday, it was Ellen Watt's birthday. Oh, she's collapsed. Anybody else hiding a birthday? David, of course. Oh, how could I forget that? So let's sing happy birthday to Audrey, Ellen, and David, and anybody else who's not admitting it. Wonderful. So as I tend to do when we haven't got Jigsaw in the church, I use some of my wisdom stories from this wee book. And I thought this one just fitted so well with what I'm speaking about today. And Jacob thinks that's a great idea. It's lovely to see him in church, by the way. It's called The Good King. There was once a very good king who lived in a beautiful country where the sun was always shining and the people were always happy. There was a river that ran around his country, and on the other side of it, there was a country that was completely different. It had hardly any sun, a great deal of rain and cold wind, and a wicked, cruel king who made everybody miserable. So the good king built a long bridge over the river and asked the unhappy people to come over and live with him. The strange thing was that people didn't want to come. They said they couldn't find the bridge, that it was too much trouble to go across, and that some of them lived too far away from it to find it. So one day the king sent three of his servants over to show the people the way and to tell them about it. Two of these servants had a great talent. The third thought herself very stupid, but she loved her king and told him she would do her best. The first one of the servants went into the unhappy country and began to sing to all the people. She had a beautiful voice, and wherever she went, the people gathered in crowds to hear her. She sang of the king and of the happy country over the bridge, and as she sang, the people felt they wanted to go there. But sometimes, when she stopped singing, the people stopped wanting to go, and some only cared for her voice and not for her message. The second servant reached even more people than the first because she wrote her message and she had a wonderful pen. Far, far away, people read her letters and writings and they liked them, for she was given the power to touch their hearts. But sometimes she altered her message a little to please the people more, and the way across the bridge to the beautiful country was not mentioned so often. Sometimes it was nearly hidden altogether, and the people thought they could make their own country as nice as the other one without troubling to go across the bridge. But she wrote on, and the singer sang on, and both were trying to obey their king. And the stupid little servant? Ah, the third servant. She couldn't sing, and she couldn't write, and she couldn't reach very many people. But her heart was full of love for her king, and so she talked about him to everyone who would listen to her. She wasn't clever, but she said a word here and a word there, and she always kept pointing to the bridge. Little children found their way easily when she took them by hand and led them there. Old men and women leaned on her arm and hobbled slowly towards it. She would whisper softly to the weeping ones. She would explain slowly to the stupid ones. And everybody listened to her because they said she was so simple and clear and didn't confuse them. She only knew one bridge, and she always pointed to it and talked of the good king. By and by, the king called his servants home. When they came back, he called together all those to whom the servants had shown the way. The singer was met by a small number of people who told her that they had found the bridge by her singing. The writer was met also by some who, far away, had read her message and had been guided to the bridge by it. But the little stupid servant was surrounded by a crowd. Her halting words had brought more over to the beautiful country than the wonderful messages of the clever ones. And the king smiled upon her and said, "The singer has done well, and so has the writer, but the little speaker has done the best of all." Let's pray. Loving, living God, as we know that you, Lord Jesus, are the bridge into that wonderful country where your Father God is that good King, help us all to use whatever gifts you've given us, however small or insignificant they may be. Help us to use them with hearts overflowing with love for you, to point other people to the bridge and to the kingdom that is yours. And let's say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I was listening to someone on the radio yesterday who had a fairly young woman, and she's written three books. She had reached a very, very low point in her life, and one of the ways that really helped her to climb back out of it was to learn to say thank you. And in particular, to say thank you for all the little tiny things in life. Things like the sunshine, the flowers, the smile, the music, friendship, all the many gifts that were around our walls over Christmas. And although there was no faith mentioned in what she said, to me, it spoke as if she was preaching the gospel. That if we can keep saying thank you all the time for all that we have, then life just seems so much better. So let's worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It's hymn 201.
Thank you.
As we come before God in prayer, I've got a wee basket here of pieces of paper with words on them. I love giving presents to people, but I also feel as a minister, I must always try and treat everybody equally. So there's one for everybody. In past years, I think about 2 or 3 years ago, we did this, and I called them star words because they were printed on a star-shaped piece of paper. Well, I'm afraid I didn't get around to doing that last night. So they're rectangular stars, okay? But every word is different, and I would invite you, they're face down, so take them at random. Take one word each and hold on to it for the year. And just see what that word brings out to you or what God says to you through that word. So before I pray, and you can do it while I'm praying and then while Jim's reading from the Bible, I'm going to suggest I start at the front here and you pass it back up to the back of this side, then pass it across and then backwards and forwards across the middle bit, and then Mary, I'll get you to pass it across and we'll get it up to the back. And, oh, actually, I'll give Audrey one before I forget you. So I'll let you start off. Nancy and David, thanks. And it's quite okay to move while I'm praying, okay? Let's pray. Loving, living God, when a child is born, light shines. When Jesus is born, hope dawns and love arrives. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us from your cradle and your cross. Give us love and life. Toddler Christ, whose light shines out not from a palace, but from a village woman's lap. Shine on us today, through the youngest and the least, through the oldest and the richest, that we all might open our treasures and share them with all in your name. Loving, living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we confess and lament the violence within our world and our complicity with it. We confess and lament the climate crisis and our failure to take meaningful action. We confess and lament our personal relationships and our failure to achieve true reconciliation. We confess and lament our readiness to judge others and our reluctance to examine our own lives. Shine on us, Lord, from the light of the cradle of your vulnerability that forgives, so that mercy and kindness may glow and grow among us. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. So as the rectangular star words continue their journey, I'm going to invite Jim forward to read for us from Ephesians chapter 3, the first 12 verses, and then Matthew chapter 2, again the first 12 verses.
First reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 1 to verse 12. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard of the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by the revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God and was created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he may accomplish in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Second reading is from Matthew 2, reading from verse 1 to verse 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way and the star was seen. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thanks, Jim. Our hymn before the sermon, this is probably the last Sunday that we sing carols, so it's hymn 326, "As with Gladness Men of Old." 326. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. The unsearchable riches of Christ, or as in the version that Jim used, the boundless riches of Christ. Today we're celebrating Epiphany. Now, Epiphany means the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, as represented by the Magi. And in more general use, an epiphany is a moment of sudden and great revelation or realization. We might call it a light bulb moment. Now, of course, it's a very well-known story, the story of the wise men. And it struck me that it involves a lot of different appearances. The wise men or magi probably came from either Persia or Arabia. They were certainly different, both in appearance and religion. They're thought to have been following the religion called Zoroastrianism. A little interesting aside, the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, and we were very fortunate on, I think it was Christmas Day, to have a gentleman with us who had a photograph of the star, the 14-point star. In 614, the Persians invaded the Middle East, and they destroyed virtually every Christian church, but they left the Church of the Nativity. And it's believed that the reason they did that was that there was a picture, either a mosaic or a mural on the wall, depicting the Magi, and one of them at least was dressed in Persian clothing. So these invaders recognized somebody who was like them, so they left that church. But I'm fascinated by how these people, who were very different, yet when the star appeared, they responded with enthusiasm and a desire to worship the new king. They left their homes, they traveled a long distance, and they went first of all to Jerusalem, for everyone expected that a new king would be born in a palace in the capital city. When they appeared in Jerusalem, I'm sure they were a pretty unusual sight, and they certainly asked an unusual question. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Well, King Herod, the ruler of that area, did not respond well on hearing this. On the surface, he certainly appeared to be powerful and in control. Yet we're told that when he heard about the Magi's question, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So despite appearances, Herod was actually very insecure. Rather than his claimed desire to worship this new king, Herod was actually quaking with fear, and of course later responded with the most horrific violence, as you heard in last Sunday's gospel reading. Herod's response was of terror and tension, while the Magi's response was of wonder and worship. Isn't it amazing that Herod, who had been ruling over the Jews for years and who supervised the renovation of the temple, apparently had no interest in the star or the rumors of the birth of a new king of the Jews until a group of foreigners alerted him to it? I'm sure part of that was because in Herod's eyes, the world revolved around Herod, which is why he viewed this news of a new king with fear and anger. But just before we rush to paint Herod as the big baddie, although he was, we should pause a moment and think how we respond when strangers or people with different views and opinions tell us that things are going to change. I think, if we're honest, we all feel some fear and often anger too. In contrast to Herod, the Magi, having interpreted the appearance of the star as telling of the birth of a new king, did not consider themselves as the center of the universe. No, they stopped what they'd been doing, undertook a long and dangerous journey in order to worship this new king. They saw the truth that the universe actually revolves around this child Jesus, born to be king, Messiah, Emmanuel. This speaks to me of God's desire for us to be open to listening to people of other faiths and different backgrounds, to learn from them without abandoning our Christian faith. We need not be afraid to listen and learn, for we are held secure in God's love, in the boundless, unfathomable riches of Christ. The radical inclusivity of the gospel is also the theme of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. If we look back a chapter in chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul writes of God's plan, purposed in Christ, that is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Narrowing it down a little, today's passage focuses on the inclusion of Gentiles. Paul writes of the mystery that was made known to him, not by his reading or studying of the scriptures, but by revelation, so assuring us that this was not just some idea that Paul had dreamed up, not simply a theory he had developed, but the truth, which by grace God revealed to Paul in order that Paul might teach others. This is what he writes, and listen for the word together. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. This inclusivity, which began with the Magi, for they were considered Gentiles, was the beginning of God's overarching plan to bring unity in all things, in heaven and on earth, under Christ. Now, I love Paul's humility when he writes, "Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ." A bit like that poor wee girl, the servant, who couldn't sing and couldn't write, but spread the news. Certainly for myself, whenever I feel out of my depth or overwhelmed, when I wonder if God really wants to use me to preach his good news, I think back to that day in 2001 when he revealed his love to me in such a powerful and dramatic and very personal way, so that I know it in the depths of my heart. And then I'm reminded that I do believe that God wants me to keep telling in words and displaying in actions his love and the boundless, unfathomable riches of Christ. And it's not easy at the moment. The Church of Scotland's membership has halved in the last 20 years. It's dropped by 20% just in the last 5 years. Scary statistics. Yet God wants the mystery of reconciliation, of unity in diversity, to be seen in the church in such a way that it displays God's wisdom, The church is to be a living witness to the radical inclusivity of the gospel. The church, of course, means us, every one of us. We are all called to preach in words and actions the boundless, unsearchable riches of Christ to everyone. As our numbers dwindle, I feel that we're a wee bit like the loaves and fishes. Not enough until we put ourselves into Christ's hands, and then we're more than enough. So how are we going to respond to the changes that have to come? With the fear of Herod, or with the wonder and worship of the Magi? Amen. In response to the boundless, unsearchable riches of Christ, let us now give our offerings. Let's pray. Loving, living God, for the boundless, unsearchable riches of your Son, Jesus Christ, how can we possibly say thank you? How can we possibly not say thank you? And yet, what could we possibly give as a gift in return? Yet, Lord, you don't ask anything in return. But it is with hearts overflowing with love and with all those riches that we bring these our offerings, not as payment, but as worship. And we ask you to receive them and use our worship, our prayers, and our lives to spread the good news throughout forth and the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Angels from the Realms of Glory, hymn 324, which is probably going to be the last. carol. Sorry, folks. And having just looked at the wonderful prayer that we've got, I really think this is a prayer not just for this week, but for this year. I don't know about the rest of you, but this is going to go on my fridge. Let's stand, those who are able, and sing hymn 324. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King.
Robert is now going to lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Ever-loving God, our celebration of Christmas is drawing to a close. The decorations taken down and put away for another year. The packaging and the wrapping paper taken to the dump. The children ready to go back to school. And a place found in a cupboard for their toys. Some may think that the message of Christmas is tidied away as well, along with the toys. But we rejoice and give thanks that Christmas is for all time and for all generations, for every stage of life's journey. We give thanks that in our hearts the spirit of goodwill should be permanent, and in that spirit we pray for the world. We pray for peace. Peace for those caught up in war or the threat of war. Peace for those whose minds are in turmoil. Peace for those who are in physical distress. Peace for all dreaming of peace and the stability it brings. We pray through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. We pray for light for the world and its people. For those who feel that life is bleak. For those for whom happiness is but a distant memory. For those who feel anxiety from past experiences. For everyone, everywhere, desiring light and all it brings with it. We pray through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We pray for knowledge of your presence in the world and among its people. For the ill, for the isolated, and for the lonely, for all those suffering the pain of bereavement, thinking of those families in our village who have lost people over the festive period, for those for whom you seem so far away, for all people searching for your presence and the new life it brings, we pray through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the light of the world, our Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Just before our closing hymn, which is number 646, Forth in the Peace of Christ We Go, I just wanted to say how lovely it is to have David worshipping with us, no longer the church officer. So it's not his fault if the church is too warm or too cold. And he sent the most lovely thank you card to me and the whole congregation for his gift. So I meant to bring it with me, but I forgot. But a huge thank you to everybody from David. And that's 12 o'clock, so let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn 646, a good one to start the year on. Forth in the peace of Christ we go. Christ to the world with joy we bring. Christ in our minds, Christ on our lips, Christ in our hearts, the world's true King. So as we go out into this new year, coughs and all, may we always know the boundless, unsearchable riches of Christ that root us and secure us. And may we always know that we are not the center of the universe, that we come to worship to remember that Christ is the center of the universe. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all today and forevermore.